This just in. While most people are concerned about Bigfoot sightings in the Rockies, we have reports that people have been hearing sounds of Lightfoot in the Rockies. Eric Ellison has captured the spirit of the songs of Gordon Lightfoot, and he will be performing those songs at Hampton Hall in Englewood on March 15th at 7 that evening. Get tickets for this Lightfoot expedition at eventbrite.com. There is no immediate threat to the public.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Listening Room. I'm Richard Arnold Beattie. Audio creative and production first has to be heard. Then the receiver of this audio gets a vision, a scene in the theater of the mind. The sensory stimulus of sound can also produce the aromas of a time, a place, the scent of a memory, and people. A song can remind the receiver of a taste of food or drink, or a freshly picked orange from the family orchard. That is what the listening room can bring out at home, through work, and in community. Are you hearing this? We are listening to experience the sounds of the listening room. Email songwritersgallery@gmail.com. That's songwritersgallery@gmail.com. Today on the Songwriters Gallery, we have the Lightfoot of the Rockies. His name is Eric Ellison, and he's going to be coming to Englewood, Colorado, at Hampton Hall on March 15th. Here's that interview. Hi, everybody. This is Richard Arnold Beattie, and you're listening to Legends, and we want to let you know about a concert that's coming up that we're really getting behind. It's going to be at Hampton Hall at Englewood. And it's Eric Ellison, the Lightfoot of the Rockies. All right, and now for the great ticket giveaway. Are you ready? Eric Ellison, the Lightfoot of the Rockies. He's coming to Hampton Hall, Englewood Civic Center, the second floor, 1000 Englewood Parkway in Englewood. That's March 15th, and at 7 o'clock. Tell them what they want, Mother. Actually, we've got songwritersgallery@gmail.com. If you sent an email with 185 words or less about what Gordon Lightfoot's music and what Gordon Lightfoot meant to you and what he means to you through his music, we're going to pick the two best and give you two sets of two. They're going to be at the Will Call at Hampton Hall. Eric Ellison dropped by the studio this week to let us know what he wanted to do, but actually send your 185 word or less, just your story about what Gordon Lightfoot's music means to you. Send that to songwritersgallery@gmail.com. That's songwritersgallery@gmail.com. Now here's that interview.
I'm thinking about that. It's on Hampton, about Hampton and Broadway. Is that where it is?
It's very accessible. It's easy to get to. And the thing I really like about it is it has a parking structure on the back side of the building that is just a few feet away from the hall. So folks that have difficulty with stairs or don't want to walk too far can park there for free. They have security on site. I mean, it's a great location.
Well, it's a huge parking lot. And do you know the history of Cinderella City Mall, which was a Disney property back in between the 60s and the 70s? And it was the mall. You know how areas have malls that they wind up, but this is where all the kids hang out. This is where all the families hang out. And it was that kind of place. And they had probably just about everything that you could possibly want or not want in a mall in this complex.
Wow. The address is 1000 Englewood Parkway, Englewood, Colorado.
All right. Englewood Parkway. Okay. Well, and it's not too far from other venues like the Gothic, which was a movie theater, which has had national acts and all kinds of things. So Englewood is a happening place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's probably not too far from Swallow Hill either, I think.
No, not at all, because Swallow Hill's at Yale and Broadway, or South Broadway. What a nice area. I think back in the day, I used to play at some bars in that area, which were not so nice. It was the Great Divide was one place, and that was kind of a biker bar. And you think of my stuff, and you think about your stuff.
I have a funny story for you.
Okay.
Dealing with bikers. So I had a gig. A local booking agent booked me at the Coyote Coffee Den.
Oh, yeah.
In Penrose. And I was kind of new into this. I was new to the area, and I was excited to play anywhere.
Right.
And it was a Sunday brunch out on the patio.
The brunch for bikers. I like it.
Yeah. So I am well into my first Gordon Lightfoot set when I hear what has to be described as rolling thunder coming at me down the highway, and it got louder and louder and louder. Turned out it was like 40 bikers on the loudest Harley Davidsons you've ever heard.
Oh, wow.
They roll in, they park, and they come up. It was as if Moses was parting the sea. These tables sort of magically appeared as these guys walk onto this patio, and they all sit down. They move these tables around, and they're all sitting there in mass. And I'm sitting there playing some delightful little Gordon Lightfoot tune. And I thought, well, this is not going to end well, because they were looking at me in not a very friendly manner.
Yes.
I got through that song, and then the one that appeared to be their leader comes up to me, and I thought, this is where you get turned into itty-bitty biker bits.
Which is the name of a cereal, too, by the way. So
he leans in, and he says, "Mister, can you play Rainy Day People?"
That's good.
And I looked at him, and I said, "Son, you just sit down. I'm going to play it for you right now."
So you lived another day.
So even bikers need a rainy day friend.
That's right. That's right. I'm just kind of in that mood today. I'm not in a very biker mood today. There's a song right there, Eric.
But, it just goes to show you how universal Lightfoot's music is.
Right.
It appeals to so many people. And here's a guy you would think, well, he's going to ask me to play some blues song standard or whatever. And what he asked for, Rainy Day People. And members of that group, boy, they were just having a good old time. And they were the best tippers ever, I got to say.
That's good. I'd rather have that for my bikers. They do so many benevolent things nowadays. And so it's a...
Never know. You can't judge a person by the conveyance they ride on.
That's correct. So tell me what you're going to do. I see that you go by Gordon Lightfoot tribute. I guess you are more of a tribute. You're not a dead-on ringer or imitation of Gordon Lightfoot.
No, I really don't attempt that. I honestly, what I want to do is I want to serve the songs. And, first of all, my vocal range and the way I sing reminds people of Lightfoot, and I've always had that, right?
Right.
People, and I don't even try. But I try to make each Lightfoot song, I try to serve that song well, but I also try to make it my own, because I don't think you can deliver it properly if all you're doing is saying, and now I'm going to imitate Gordon singing this.
Right.
So I really like to try to make it my own, but at the same time, hew as closely as I can to the way Gordy, and I frequently ask myself, how would Gordon Lightfoot do this song? But, I really do try to serve the song well, and at the same time, make it my own.
Right.
So, and I get that all the time from people. But in my show, I not only play Gordon's songs, but I also throw a couple of my own tunes in there. And the reason is that I think people want something that's fresh, something that's unexpected. And if you think about it, they go to the trouble to come out to hear music.
Right.
Well, stay at home and listen to the real thing on their CD players or whatever, right? But they come for that emotional experience. And part of that connection is to learn more about me, is to listen to some of my original music. Audiences just love that.
They do. But you're right. When you are lesser known, and, you know, I always like to say, you know, I don't tell somebody if it's an old Richard Beatty song or it's a new Richard Beatty song, because they don't know.
I think that's a quandary. When you're a songwriter, you have more material than you can possibly get out there. Even Lightfoot, in his later years, he was releasing songs that for whatever reason hadn't been previously released when he had contracts with Warner Records, or he was still releasing them. And I know that he released, I think it was a CD with 5 or 6 songs on it that just had not found him in the vault. And he said, you know, these sound really good, but it's on his album he calls Solo. So it's just him. And really kind of remarkable.
You think about that, and you just think about Now and Then with the Beatles' new record that John Lennon had done a demo, and they turn it into a Beatle piece and a brand new song. And nobody really seemed like they got offended by that. I mean, it was good music. It was the Beatles, and it was very authentic in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so, I think it was exaggerated that there was a lot of AI contributed to this. But if it was AI, that was the best use of AI I probably have ever heard. What do you think about, I mean, there's probably some Gordon Lightfoot stuff that's sitting in the vault still. Maybe it's not even finished. What do you think should be done about some of that stuff?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because I was actually thinking, as I was going through some of my own papers, I'm getting ready for sort of a major recording effort, and I'm going through songs and going through writings and lyrics that I've written down. And I just thought for a second, I thought, what must it be like for the friends and family of Gordon Lightfoot to curate all of that material,
right,
and then decide what is it that we put out to the world? What would Gord want us to release? Because I guarantee you, he was a perfectionist. You know,
right.
Listen to his recordings. He didn't release just anything. He was very careful. So I'm certain that they have to think about it in terms of what would Gordon want, as opposed to what do we want to do? It's a tough decision. You're going to laugh, but I was sitting here today looking at 20 some odd songs and saying, okay, which of these do I want to go in and record and share with other people?
Mm-hmm.
Songs that I've never played out. And then you think about it and you go, okay, well, what does this say about me as an artist, or about what's happening in my life or my outlook, right? And every song is I kind of see each song as sort of a snapshot of a place in time. I don't know. You know, I think it's rather interesting as an artist. You're always weighing that and saying, what does this say about me? Listening to Lightfoot's music. Oh, my goodness. The more you get into his catalog and you really start thinking about what's behind that lyric. Is there anything behind that lyric? Because I think as he went along, he wrote a lot of material that was simply, it was what occurred to him and he created it, but there wasn't a lot of angst and a personal backstory behind it. But of course, people that want to know Lightfoot want to say, oh, this has something to do with his life. And I've seen several reports where he said, no, I just had this idea and I wrote it. There's no fact or basis in reality behind this song. So I don't know. I again, as an artist, I think that's a big challenge that we all face. What do we put out there?
We're talking to Eric Ellison, and I want to, Eric, before, let's get back to the Englewood concert. I understand that you wanted to give some tickets away, and I don't know how many you want to give away or people who are listening.
So I think it would be great if we could give 4 tickets away. What I would just say is I want people to come out to the show. It's on Friday the 15th. at Hampden Hall in Inglewood Civic Center. Starts at 7 o'clock. It'll run for about 2 hours. We'll have a 15-minute intermission. Parking is available. It's handicap accessible. I think it's really important for those of us that love the music of Gordon Lightfoot, the music of that era, to keep it alive, not just through playing our records at home, but to go out and experience it live with other people who also appreciate it. And here's something for you. Bring your kids and your grandkids. Really interesting. I'm seeing more and more young people come out to the show now, and older folks are saying, this is what I used to listen to when I was your age.
And when I was your age, I used to listen to KLZ-FM, The Innovators. Anyhow, we'd love to hear from you, songwritersgallery@gmail.com. And to get those tickets, and actually, if you don't get the tickets, come to the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's March 15th, Eric Ellison, and that's at Hampden Hall in Inglewood. Thanks for listening.
I was walking and minding my own business when this guy comes up to me and says, I don't know what you do for a living, but I think that you would do well joining my marketing company. Why would you think that? I have a sense, he says. Let's get some coffee. I love coffee, I tell him. We sat down at the coffee roasters. He had a portfolio and some catalogs. He shows me the product that he's marketing, and then he tells me about the business. I think he must work for one of those ancestry DNA companies, because when he's talking about his business, he's drawing on a pad and writing family and friends' names in little circles. Any questions? Yeah, I say. What products are you marketing? He says, cleaning supplies. They actually sell themselves. Why reinvent the wheel? So what do you think of my entrepreneurial business? I think you should reinvent your vision. It's in your wheelhouse. Quintessential Creative Studios. Reinvent your vision. Because tires still go flat.
I love Bite Mold. It's rich in chocolate tea. Chocolate flavored Bosco is mighty good for me. Mama puts it in my milk for extra energy. Bosco gives me iron and sunshine, vitamin D. Oh, I love Bosco. That's the drink for me.
Remember when video was king? It was the big screen, the jumbo screen, and the video kiosk. The video store of the 1980s was where people rented videos and VCRs so they could watch a movie, a concert, or binge watch a television show. Meanwhile, John Lennon was in a recording studio recording the Double Fantasy album. MTV brought a picture to music. Fast forward, the little screen and thumbs akimbo are what writers use today to communicate. Artificial content is being voiced by artificial intelligence. Intellectual property is being gathered by artificial engineers. And if you just thought of it, it is already somewhere in a box getting ready to artificially brand, artificially market, and artificially send it to your algorithm. It all looks very good. But how does it sound? Listen, audios from Richard Arnold Beatty.
Something's humming somewhere.
Baby, well, I'm satisfied, tickled too. Sugar, just know I'm in love with you. Baby, know I'm satisfied and tickled too. Sugar, just know I'm in love with you. Baby, you know I've been great girl, she been. Well, little red hen, sit your little red rooster. Rooster, you don't come round my chicken shack as much as you used to, rooster. And I ain't bad. I'm bad. I ain't bad. I ain't bad. Red girls, you bad. My I'm going downtown. My head caved in. Come back home now, beer with a pocket full of tin. Baby, you know I'm going downtown with my hat caved in. Well, now mama coming back home now, baby, with a pocket full of tin. Baby, no, man, I bet I haven't been bread gossiping. Satisfied, take up to baby, just know that I'm in love with you. Baby, no, I've been, great guys, I've been. I'm all satisfied now, baby, just know that I'm in love with you. Baby, no, I've been satisfied and tickled to wow. Maybe just I know that I'm in love with you. Baby, no, I've been, great gosh, you've been.
Coming to Boulder.
One, two.
pay. Yes, I'm gonna pay my mailbox blue. Oh, I'm gonna move up to the country, baby. Oh, you know, I'm gonna pay my mailbox blue.
Bet you're going fishing all of the time. Baby, going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife will catch more fish than you.
You're gonna need somebody on your bone child.
Taj Mahal coming to Tulagi's in Boulder.
Somebody on your bone. Oh, when it's late.
Taj Mahal will be appearing at Tulagi's starting tomorrow night, August the 31st, appearing through September the 3rd. Make sure you get on up there. Taj is with us here in the studio today, and see what happens anyway. Taj, how you doing?
Oh, as good as I can.
You're going to be in town for a few days, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're coming in to take music down a little notch and bring it by there, you know, back down onto the Delta, out to the country.
Yeah, so you didn't... So you didn't bring your band with you this time. You gonna be playing alone?
Mm-hmm. I'll be playing, picking guitar and banjo, maybe a little mandolin, and doing mostly country stuff.
Mm. Excellent, excellent. What kind of acts you bring down with you?
I used to have an old one like this, an older one like this, but it's Soul Steel Body National is one that's been really taken care of real well. Mm-hmm. And these people had it hanging around in the attic, and a friend of mine picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I borrowed it from him.
What? Gonna play us a few tunes here?
Yeah, if we rap for a little while, I guess we will. It'll just start up. Start that way.
Uh-huh. So what type of things you been into since last time you were out in Colorado?
Well, as you know, when I was out here last, I had the big band with me, and we were doing an awful lot of playing. We did a big concert tour up until about June with the big band. And then after that, it was about time for everybody to kind of take a break, you know, because like all the musicians that I play with pretty much are able to take care of themselves.
Uh-huh.
And they have other things that they like to do, other projects, you know, that they'd like to get happening. And so, like, when we knock off every now and then for four or five months, sometimes a month or 2 months, then cats go off and get a chance to do what they want to do, too, okay. So that the band isn't just restricting, you know, to keep everybody just doing what I want to be doing, you
understand.
Know. And then it's much easier to keep good cats around that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You living out in San Francisco now.
Mm-hmm. Up in the Bay Area, yeah.
What's the scene like, music scene out there like that?
Well, it's now since the big, this Wonderland and the Berkeley Community Theater, and whatever concerts are available. Well, the Fillmore's closed down now, so that particular crowd doesn't, you know, get around or hang around or isn't around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that the Fillmore was open, but now there's a lot of small clubs open.
That's right.
And so that's made room to, you know, for a cat like myself who doesn't always like to play with a big band. I mean, I dig playing with a big band, but it's just like every now and then I like to, you know, get back into what makes music that eventually gets into be big band music,
right.
You know.
Please.
You know, get to playing my axes, you know, because that's what I'm really about.
That's one thing about the Colorado scene around here is it's not that many places, you know, where people can go and get down and, you know, be a small club-like scene.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a concert thing. Tulagi's trying to do some things up in Boulder.
Uh-huh.
You know, but still, I don't know, it seems like in Colorado people aren't that much in tune to a small club-like atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just a matter of time and having it happen. You
know? Yeah, well, it takes when there are a lot of people who haven't had it, you know, in a small club situation, it takes a few people to come along and, you know, do something, you know, do some things, play, do some concerts, You know, get to see that there's some more valuable music out there that doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, top 40 or
loud, you know, flash,
you know, right? I mean, that you can just sit back and dig somebody blow for an evening, you know. And I think that all the levels of music that are available for people to hear and listen to, with them, you know, being available, mm-hmm. you know, it's a shame that people don't get to hear more good music like
understand
that.
Understand it. Understand
you know? Cause like you, like a lot of people say, well, you know, they would wonder where I, you know, where I would hang out. Well, I hang out in a lot of little funky clubs, man, where this cat's still blowing, you know, mm-hmm. who nobody knows about, man. And like, I'm out there. So like, what I'll be doing is like, singing their praises whenever I get a chance. Like I did a lot of, on the first album, I did a lot of Sleepy John Estes tunes.
Yeah, yeah.
And off and on, you see different cats, I'll be, you know, I'll do their tunes. And I've gotten more into writing my own stuff, but I don't pass up a chance. If there's a good song that's back there, man, that ought to be heard, you know, I'll bring it on up, you know.
Yeah, I always get down, music that gets down, you know, like when Albert Adler was rapping about, you know, music being the healing force of the universe and this mm-hmm. whole thing, you know, it's the people's music, you know, yeah. And I don't know, I've been kind of getting down on that superstar thing, you know, where mm-hmm. it's all this flash, man, and not relating to the people.
People, yeah, well, that's a 50-50 proposition. You can let a musician go head on and do something like that, mm-hmm. or you can demand of him that he plays. Or you can learn to tune your ear so you know who's jiving and who's not.
Dig it. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's as much a responsibility of the musician as it is the audience who wants to come and hear him, you know, who ultimately supports what he does.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, you can't complain that so-and-so is a superstar if you're going to go to a concert that's overpacked and you don't complain to promoter by the way things are put on, you know.
Yeah, we've had a lot of hassles out here with large concerts, you know, large groups of people saying, you know, this is the people's music, you know, and these dudes shouldn't be making this much bread behind it, you know,
yeah.
and then crashing the gate, which in essence is saying there's not going to be any more concerts in Colorado
yeah.
for a while. Which can be a bring down, you know, because there
yeah.
are a few groups that are still pretty righteous, you know, quite a few.
Yeah, there are. There are. I mean, you see, that problem has to be dealt with a little bit better foresight, man, on the part of the people who want to hear the music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just like, say for instance, like record jackets. Most people don't read the record jacket. They read the name that they recognize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say, Joe Dokes and the Howlin' Blues, you know, have got a band. And, they read that Joe Dokes and the Howlin' Blues have this band. And so they just put it on, you know, cause somebody said it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to do a little more than that.
Oh, you know.
You know, and if you want them to come to town and play for you, then you ought to have a situation, you ought to know what a musician needs to come and play well for you.
Right on.
You know?
Right on.
Like we had the concert that we had here, we had not in Denver, but in Boulder. Last time I was here, it was one of the best concerts we ever played. We've been having a lot of difficulty with concerts because of, the things are set up for like these superstar, crazy, loud rock groups. And man, I mean, as big as the music sounds, it ain't
getting it.
You know, it just wasn't it, you know? And so we had music bouncing all off the walls at a lot of these concerts. And when we got here, to Boulder, it was the first place that everything fell together because like the people who were running the mics were hip to what we were doing
mm-hmm.
and hip to our music, you know? And so like, as a matter of fact, that's the only concert I know that people just after the concert was over, man, and they heard the last tune, they felt real satisfied. They weren't like begging for more because they felt like they got taken or they weren't tuned into the music,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that was really good for us, you know, and then on this tour back through, I thought I'd, you know, come back and introduce people to some other kinds, you know, other types of music that I play that develops into what they hear
in
big band music and also hear acoustically.
Uh-huh.
You know, like a tune like Fish and Blues is like really very popular now, you know, amongst the people who come to listen to my music. And, that's really nice because that gives me a chance to get a break from, you know, working with all the big stuff, you know, and it's kind of play some easier stuff on a different ear, you know, for a different ear.
It's your chance to let your hair down.
You know, that's really, really it, you know, because I mean, that other stuff keeps you, you know, pretty much up there. I think that, you know, the audience can really do an awful lot, you know, about the way concerts are handled. And I mean, even including prices and whatnot, you know. No, we were recently at a concert in, I forgot, some city back in Ohio. Man, it was just ridiculous. They had 10,000 people there and they couldn't get up and dance, you know. Now, that's a concert. I mean, that's unfair, you know, to put people through that kind of thing, because the music is designed to move you.
To move,
and you have to sit there, you know. So, I mean, people just get crazy after a while.
Understand? All that energy gets to running, and there's no place
to
go.
No place to go. And then they get out on the street, man, and, you know, the wrong words get passed, you know, and then, you know, there's some kind of terrible situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen places, you know, a lot of places where people have, you know, taken the time to present a situation where, you know, the artist is taken care of and the audience feels comfortable and relaxed, you know. And then it's really a good concert. People really enjoy it, you know, because, like, ain't nothing really strange going to happen because some people hear some good music.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
therefore, it's up to the people who are promoting and the people who are listening to demand that these people play, you know, good music.
It's right down.
Yeah. You know, right. And, you know, demand of the promoters to make better situations for them to listen to music or don't go.
Dig it.
You know?
Dig it.
I mean, you know, you got that option, you know, not to go.
A lot of people, you know, bitch and moan about the prices of this, the prices of that, you know, and why should we be supporting this dude, you know, this way, you know. Well, like you say, they don't have to buy the album. They don't have to go to the concert.
That's right. And they don't have to believe any hype, man. I mean, you have to start listening and seeing what it is, you know. You know, I mean, it's like another thing that I try to talk to people when I have ever have interviews, is to kind of explain to them that that all good music is valid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to, you know, they have to open up to it. You have to really open up to it, and everybody in the end, you know, constitutes how concerts are, how an artist fares, you know, and. If they can hear and feel the vibes, if they got to sit and think about it too doggone long, you know,
mm-hmm.
well then
they ain't getting it.
It should be from note one to note last, you know. You know,
I think with more exposure, you know, people are gonna get into that a little more, but got to slow down a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't go to any big concerts anymore, and I haven't for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I did clubs.
Yeah, it's
small
nice.
Sets.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, 150, 200 people.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
nice.
Feel a lot closer, you know?
Yeah, right. And bands don't have to tend to play so loud in those circumstances. I don't know. Some cats do, but I don't. Man, mm-hmm. I mean, I really like a more warmer sound anyway, and I don't like all that volume, man. Even though I had a big, that's what I say, even though I had a big band, it wasn't loud.
Mm-hmm.
It was big and deep, you know? And strong, but
you
it
still
had
that subtlety, you know? That
yeah,
touch,
right. All this other stuff, other things going through it, too, yeah.
Makes a big difference. It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. See what this whole thing sounds like. Stuck out here on the highway, baby, now you know I'm trying to flag it right. Yes, you know I'm stuck out here on the highway, mommy, now you know I'm trying to flag it right. Don't nobody seem to know me. Everybody pass me. Mr. Highwayman, please don't you block the road. Mr. Highwayman, please don't you block the road. I thought you were gonna stop for me. You passed me by, you know. I'ma call my baby, ask her will she please come to find me.
guess I'm gonna call my baby. Ask her, will she please come and find me? I'm stuck out here on the highway. These people will not ride with me. Let me play it now. Stuck out here on the highway, and I'm trying to thumb it. Yes, I'm stuck out here on the highway, baby, and I'm trying to find a ride. Well, you know, don't nobody seem to know me. Everybody pass me by. Take it home.
Okay, so I go to the doctor and he asks me, how long have you had this problem? All my life. He looked alarmed. You've been seeing spots? No, doctor. All my life. I've been hearing spots. 1 minute spots, 30 second spots, really well written spots. I hear spots that get results. They are very good spots. And then he looked into my ears and he asked me, do you know the legend of the spotted rabbit? The spotted rabbit has never been seen except for a well-defined spot on his back. And yet only people who are tuned into a frequency. I admitted to the doctor that I do hear the spotted rabbit. Will it ever go away? No, replied the doctor, unless you lose your imagination. Spotted rabbit, creative, productive spots that get results. Email paidtothinkradio@gmail.com.
But first, our continuing story of the original VeggieTales, who were cut and processed and who were deemed not good enough for big ideas. We'll head out right now to a radio studio in San Francisco where our new correspondent, Rather Goodly, is sitting around looking for something to do. Rather, can you hear me?
Right, Chet. Loud and clear. This technology is stunning. When I covered the Blitz, this was only a dream.
You covered the London Blitz?
No. Not the London Blitz. The day after the Thanksgiving sales blitz was what I covered, actually. But let's get right to it. In this disturbing series, we uncovered some extremely disturbing talent loss by Big Idea Productions, who in several moves took out the old cutting board and sautéed some very impressive veggie talent. Such was the case with the fifth veggie, Pete the Pumpkin, and Cal the Cauliflower Thomas. Today we tracked down one more and were shocked to find the reason for his dismissal. You know him as the controversial talk show host of the syndicated program Cabbage Nation. It's Michael Cabbage. Michael, tell us your story. Cabbage.
Hello, vegetables across the fruited plain. I mean, it's hard to be a vegetable in a fruited plain. I ticked off Bob and Larry because I had a difficult time believing such drivel from Gordy. The computer? Such nonsense! So they threw me back in the cabbage patch among those deviant dolls. That's corporate America for you. When you speak out as I do, you get reduced by the mainstream vegetables and lumped together into a patch with cabbage patch dolls.
So what you're saying is that they got rid of you for your outspoken views?
Oh, they masked it. They're very, very clever. They tried to tell me it was because I smell that they returned me to the cabbage patch. But I know differently. It's the veggie medley sweet dopa baby peas that are the cause of my dismissal. What are you holding your nose for, Goodly?
They're right. You do smell like cabbage.
See what I mean? If you weren't here in this studio with me, I'd hang up on you. You wouldn't make it in the Cabbage Nation, you infavegetable. You're just like the ABC executives out to get me. You're pathetic, Rather Goodly. You're in with a whole bunch of...
Well, there you have it, Richard and Mark.
Goodly,
I'll have like to hand it back to you.
Sauerkraut. So go ahead then. Run to your mother.
She can kill with a smile, she can wound with her eyes, and she can ruin your faith with her casual lies. And she only reveals what she wants you to see. She hides like a child, but she's always a woman to me. She can lead you to love, she can take you or leave you. She can ask for the truth, but she'll never believe. And she'll take what you give her as long as it's free. Yeah, she steals like a thief, but she's always a woman to me. Oh, she takes care of herself. She can wait if she wants. She's ahead of her time. Oh, and she never gives out. And she never gives in. She just changes her mind. she'll promise you more than the Garden of Eden. Then she'll carelessly cut you and laugh while you're bleeding. But she'll bring out the best and the worst you can be. Blame it all on yourself, 'cause she's always a woman to me. Ahead of her time. Oh, and she never gives out, and she never gives in. She just changes her mind. She is frequently kind, and she's suddenly cruel. But she can do as she pleases, she's nobody's fool. She can't be convicted, she's earned her degree. And the most she will do is throw shadows at you, but she's always a woman to me.
Richard Arnold, BD, in the listening room at Legends. You know, that's Billy Joel, and that brings back some good memories, I'm sure, for you. It does for me as well. She's always a woman to me. That's great. Audio journal in the listening room. Imaginable. If you're not driving or operating heavy equipment right now, could you just close your eyes and think about where you'll wake up a year from now in March 2034? It is a psychology exercise that helps people to stop narcissistic behavior and allows us to see our future more objectively. It is also a tool to set objectives, research, and development by imagining what could be and what we can do about it. Will there be social media? Will there still be radio? How will AI be used? And what are the pitfalls and benefits? What will media be like? What will you be driving? Are electric cars sustainable? Will you be able to travel from Fort Collins to Raton Pass by train? Will there still be Social Security left? And what will healthcare be like? Will there be need for higher education? And where will people get their news? I'm writing this on a cell phone. In fact, the media that you and I consume is often read, listened to, and viewed on a small screen with tiny little speakers. In my small nonprofit company, we digitize master tapes that I replay, edit, and remaster from powered speakers. We record in high definition sound to be shared with others. Imagine Stravinsky giving his classic lecture, The Poetics of Music, in a room that had studio quality sound. Imagine the original cast of West Side Story in an audio theater in your town. Imagine you're at the Denver Folklore Center on 17th and Pearl, listening to Taj Mahal or Furry Lewis sing and play the Delta Blues. It brings it back to life, and maybe a life that you didn't even imagine before. Imagine that just before feeling of opening an album from Joni Mitchell, Miles Davis, or the Beatles, and the artwork is right in your hands. The lyric sheet or booklet is ready for you to get set and listen on studio-powered speakers, with a cup of your favorite beverage in a room designed for your listening pleasure with listening room technology. Live with a set from a small stage, a musician you came to hear, or recorded live from another time and space, from a place you only heard about. before your time. And now, you're here. Welcome to the listening room. I'm Richard Arnold Beattie. And right next door is the Songwriters Gallery, and we'd love to hear from you. So drop us a line, songwritersgallery@gmail.com. songwritersgallery@gmail.com. Now this.
Oh, Shenandoah, I long to see you away. You rolling river, oh, Shenandoah, I long to see you away. I've gone away across the wide Missouri. Oh, Shenandoah, I love your daughter. Away, you rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah, across the water. Away, we're gone away. Across the wide Missouri.
Well, the last stop on a long ride of my media and arts career is a cause. The cause is to disrupt the damaging effects of social media on individuals, relationships, and community. In that, I want to divorce myself from social media through listening room technology, authentic and thoughtful content that I can leave behind after I'm dead and gone. There are still 16 millimeter films and slides of pictures without sounds of my grandparents. And yet the sound recordings have disintegrated into dust. I remember the voices and I can see the faces. And I miss the conversations I had with my father about these very things. I write, record, sing, and play words that I want my children and grandchildren to be able to access. And I want to collect the stories of men and women who have something to tell us, teach us, and make us laugh, cry, and think. And I can continue to cultivate and elevate and evaluate ideas in what I am called to endeavor in, where I am called to serve, and how I can ignite the creative spirit in myself and in others, is how I will see the success of my life work at home, through work, and in community. And the harvest of this orchard of perennial voices, words, music, and vision will be what I will leave behind. The rest of it is up to those who I love and those who love me. We'd love to hear from you. Go to songwritersgallery@gmail.com. Send us an email. Tell us what you think and what you want to hear in the listening room. I'm Richard Arnold Beattie. Have a great week.